Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the 3-point stance.
I'm going to count to three.
Tatum puts up a three. Bam!
Easy as 1, 2, 3.
Pasternak, a hat trick and a 4-3 Boston lead.
Three.
And it is gone. A 3-run homer and the game is tied.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman, Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or you too are looking for an exit strategy for your head coach, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond. Andy Hart, you will lead us off. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance, and I ask you, are you ready?
I sure am.
All right, your 60 seconds start right now.
So, hockey season is here. We saw the Stanley Cup champions yesterday at 3:30 or something. That's way to debut early. 5 o'clock, Dan Ball says. I was exaggerating. But the Bruins season, they drop puck tonight in Washington, and there are a lot of storylines with this team. There's a new coach. There's healthy players again. There's expectations high or low, but there's really only one story. I think the Bruins are a lot like the Patriots were to start the year. First-year head coach, but the story was a player, and it was about Drake May becoming elite. The story of the Bruins season is about one simple man, and he's between the pipes, and his name is Jeremy Swayman, and he claims he's a new human being. He's paid like a franchise goalie, except he played really poorly last year. And the entirety of this season, to me, hinges on Jeremy Swayman. They're going to have issues scoring. That's just a reality. The defense may or may not be better. It'll definitely be healthier. They may or may not have leadership. They have 3 associate captains, no captain. Those are all issues. Marco Sturm, what do they do at the trade deadline? That is all details. The story is Jeremy Swayman. Are you worth your contract in year 2 of 8, or are you a bum? I felt strong at the end.
Hmm.
He's kind of a bum, though, last year. Oh, he was a bum last year. I'm back. He was a bum last year.
He's one of the worst-rated goalies in the NHL. So, but all reports are that he had a fantastic
was it
preseason?
America's Cup? What was the name of that tournament that he played? The World Cup
of
Hockey?
That was several months ago.
World Championships. Yep. There you go.
Yep, yeah. where he found his humanness again.
Yeah,
right?
We'll see. I'm not necessarily buying, but I think if they're going to have any chance, we know that the roster is not great. Dan Ball is as down on the roster as anybody I've heard, but
it's a rough go.
But it's like football. If you have a quarterback, you got a puncher's chance, and if you don't have a quarterback, it's going to be really hard. If you have a goalie who is worth $64 million, you have a puncher's chance. We see it in the postseason every year. And I just think Jeremy Swayman, for who he is and what he's said and what he said leading up to the contract, what he said this offseason, he better put up or shut up and go away.
Yeah. Sitting here, Jeremy Swayman is in a great spot.
Oh, third person. He went third person.
Nothing I love more. Nothing
Andy
I
Hart doesn't
more.
Like Jeremy Swayman. Yeah.
But you know what? They're already off to a better start to the season, even though the game hasn't the first game hasn't happened yet, because last year with Jeremy Swayman's contract dispute, that really set a bad tone, and I think that rubbed guys the wrong way. And then Jim Montgomery was a lame duck coach going into the season. It lasted all of 20 games, so at least you don't have those, you know, any issues like that.
I mean, Bill Belichick is proving just because you're a new coach doesn't mean you're a long-term coach.
No, but I'm just saying there hasn't been any issues in this training camp, big storylines that were taken away from the focus like there were at last year's training
Under
camp.
The radar, actually. Maybe there's health. They got a new coach. People expect – where are expectations for the Bruins? Lowest of all 4 teams in town by a mile?
Oh, yeah. Not even close.
No, so if they do anything resembling, I'm not going to say, make a deep playoff run, but
just
if they
go to
win more than they lose and they actually make it to the playoffs, that would make for a successful pleasant season for fans to watch.
That is the one thing they benefit from is low expectations. I actually think Swayman kind of, too. Coming off the year he had last year where we were charting. So Dan Ball and I last year were charting, I believe, games in which he allowed five or more goals was the stat we were keeping. That's how bad he was. Just avoid that. Don't have that. Give up three goals, right? And then blame it on you didn't get enough scoring. Lose 3-2.
That's not going to be enough. I don't know how where the scoring is going to come from. It's so you can't give up three goals and think that's going to be okay.
Well, you can if you gave up five every game last year.
A 4-3. I mean, the Bruins scoring four goals a night would be possibly a stretch.
That's not happening.
Twitch chat talking about you're going to have to win a lot of 3-2, 2-1 games this year. Is the defense going to be that good? And if it is, it's probably led by a resurgent Swayman.
If they can reestablish some credibility and maybe fight for a wild card spot, then that would be reasonable expectations. You know?
Most of the globe is predicting wild card playoff hockey for the Bruins. They did their little season preview, and I think there were like six analysts. I was like 5 of 6 predicted they're going to go to the playoffs. Dan Ball?
The number we were charting, so 12 games allowing 1 or 0 goals last year, 11 allowing 5 or more last year.
Oh,
so the ends of the spectrum were pretty ridiculous.
11 games with 5 or more goals allowed.
Mm.
Wow.
It's almost hard to do.
Yes, especially when you make $8 million a year and you told everybody you knew your value and you knew where contracts were going and you knew and you did. And
the 4 interceptions, whatever. We can dismiss all that.
So better goalie play and hopefully a power play that shows up this year.
We can't be greedy.
Let's not be carried away. Right.
we'll do a little bit more in terms of hockey with the Bruins debuting tonight coming up later on. But in the meantime, we'll leave that one there. Fitzy, are you ready for your 3-point stance?
Yes, actually, I just want to share real quick. We got some exclusive audio here. Bill Belichick has responded to the allegations and the calls for his departure from the University of North Carolina.
I'm not leaving.
I'm not leaving.
That was Steve and Brian and Jordan cheering for him in the background.
Oh, I was going to say, I didn't know they had a crowd that big to cheer and make it sound like that at the end.
Oh.
It is in the background.
Sick
right.
burn, bro.
Right.
As far as a 3-point stance, this is, on Belichick and Bruins Day, this seems odd, but okay, why not? Let's give it a whirl.
Well, let's see what it is. 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. Listen, nobody wants to hear anything except positive Patriots talk right now because your New England Patriots are the toast of the town. They are the bell of the football these days, coming off of the huge 23-20 win on Sunday Night Football against the Buffalo Bills. Hell, Tom Brady even put them in his top 10 earlier this morning on Fox Sports, and with good reason. Seems like everything is trending in the right direction. And now, of course, people are talking about the Patriots steamrolling through their schedule all the way. Hell, they could be 10-3 by the time they reach their bye week. Well, I am here to play part-time host at WPTB Pump the Brakes Radio and let you know that if there were to possibly be a dreaded trap game, which it seems often are littered about schedules, it could be this Sunday against a New Orleans Saints team that is, yes, middle of the pack defensively, but they're feeling themselves after coming off of a huge win last Sunday at home by 2 touchdowns against the New York Giants. They played the Buffalo Bills to a 10-point loss just a few weeks ago, have been involved in a couple of one-score wins themselves, and they basically, as a team that was predicted to win 1 or 2 games or possibly go 0-17, are going to have that nothing-to-lose attitude, which sometimes can put a little fear in the hearts of men as well. And what would be better for Kellen Moore, first-year head coach, starting off his program, than to give the Patriots a tough game and maybe not just cover, but pull off the upset? I think it's going to be a trap game. Watch out.
Yeah, I think it's definitely a trap game, whatever you want to let down game, whatever you want to call it.
People use trap game most cliched. I think
generally in my mind, trap game is saved for a better football team. So that's why I don't call it a trap game. It's more of a letdown game. It's a maturity litmus test. Are you really mature enough to, as Vrabel wanted to say from day one, take advantage of bad football? The Saints will give you some chances to probably win this football game. Do you take advantage of those, or do you regress to the team that you have been too often at times this year that turns the ball over, that has penalties, that gives the other team a chance to win the football game? That's how a letdown is what I would,
yeah,
would say they need
I
to
think
avoid.
So. I think it's right in classifying it as really a team that's expected to win week in, week out, letting their guard down against a team that's softer and losing the game. I think that defines a trap game. They're not that good to be called a trap game. So I sign off on that thinking this is, you have to validate Sunday's win. by winning Saints. If you don't beat the Saints, it will take a lot of that shine that you've kind of garnered this past weekend and take a lot of that away.
It's one of those where people will say that was your Super Bowl and you fell off afterward. Like we used to do that around here. Like somebody would upset the Patriots and be like, well, that was your Super Bowl. We'll be in the real Super Bowl later in the year. Or we'll be in the playoffs. Good luck with the rest of your season when you peter out and don't play good football.
And I'll also say this. There's teams that thrive. I mean, if you look at Mike Vrabel's record when he's the underdog, he's got an excellent record. When he's when he was the coach from 2018 to 2023 in Tennessee, he had a lot of good wins when he was big underdogs.
Yep.
He wins at a higher rate being a big underdog than most coaches. And so, okay, now that you're not sneaking up on anybody now after that week, how can you play now the expectations are put on you? They went from being, you know, maybe the hunter to the hunted in a week. And so can they psychologically make that flip and handle being the hunted now? Because it's, as you know, a lot of our championships, we felt very comfortable being the hunter as opposed to the hunted.
First game you guys had after the Rams 24-17 loss was at home against the Saints, and it was a resounding dub for you guys. Yeah. I just think the Saints could present, look, they're not the most talented football team they'll play by any stretch the rest of the way, but if you go from being an 8.5-point road dog to a 3.5-point road favorite, that's a 12-point swing right there, and everybody is thinking, oh, you'll just roll in because the Saints stink, and the Pats look obviously better than a 3-2 record. They should take care of them easily. There's talent on the other side of the ball, and the Saints are the kind of team that should play with reckless abandon or a nothing-to-lose approach, which could potentially give the Pats or any team a fit.
Very true.
All right. We'll leave that one there. We'll do a little more on Patriots and Saints, of course, coming up.
And real quick, only one interception for Spencer Rattler.
Oh, yeah.
He's got 1,000 passing yards. He's playing pretty well.
He and they are better than I thought. But as Dan said, we'll get to a little bit more of that later.
Because it is time for Ted Johnson's three-point stance. Are you ready, my friends?
I'm ready, bud.
All right. Here are 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. So there's a couple programs I want to talk about. My alma mater, Colorado, and then, of course, the UNC program down there in Chapel Hill where Bill Belichick is the head coach. Both of those programs have basically sold their souls to the devil to get and are getting probably what they deserved. I mean, they both did high-profile hires. Deion Sanders, obviously a Hall of Famer, considered the best player to ever play the NFL game, comes into Colorado, turns the program around to some degree. The first 2 years, he has a 500 record, but generates a lot of money for the program. But this year, off to a terrible start. They're 0-3 in conference play. And if you look at what's going on with Bill Belichick, he is 0-3 in conference play, combined 0-6. And these guys are both top 10 in salaries in college football. Deion Sanders makes a little over $10 million a year. He just got a new deal. Rick George, the athletic director, gave him. And Bill Belichick, as we know, got a $10 million deal. And both of them are combined 0-6 in conference play. This is probably going to be a huge lesson to other programs that want a quick fix, that want to kind of...
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. You're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Just bring in a big name to generate interest. Careful what you wish for, because this is embarrassing. I think not only for UNC, but for my alma mater, Colorado. I'm told that even the former players don't even talk to the athletic director because Deion has basically isolated all those guys from the program. So this is, you might get that initial sugar high, but in the end, it's not worth it bringing in an outsider who's never coached the game and doesn't know how to navigate the college world.
Instant gratification, Ted, am I right?
That's it. Mm-hmm. That's what it is, man.
But at least Colorado got that. I'm not sure. UNC didn't even really get much of that.
No. UNC definitely got it worse. Because Colorado at least won, I think they won their first four games in Deion's tenure.
And people were talking, and people were, there was a while there, they were like
they had the Heisman Trophy winner.
Right, they had the Heisman, they had Michael the Rock, whoever, all these celebrities visiting. I mean, no offense to this guy, because he might be listening, but you brought David Andrews down and he talked to the team after practice. That's not exactly The Rock. That's not exactly like what was going on in the sexy early phase at Colorado.
You know what's interesting, just doing a little digging on this, is what, how many people work for these teams? I don't know if you guys, there was an article that Christian sent me about our alma mater, Colorado, and just how many staffers, coaches, support people that they hire. Colorado has 57 people on the payroll for the football team. 57. You know how many UNC has? 16. 16.
See, why
people.
He did this? He did this in 2022 and 2023. He stripped down the staff.
Why?
And that
why?
Was the whole, because he doesn't trust anybody.
No, no, no. It's, well, that
because
is,
he thinks he can do everything.
So that Lombardi gets all the money. So that Steve Belichick gets all the money. So that he gets all the money. That's what he doesn't have a big staff because he doesn't want to give money to other people.
Was there any truth to the idea back when he was coaching the Patriots that if you had fewer coaches, the money went back to Bill?
Yes. But the bigger one is he never wanted anybody on the team making more than him.
Right.
That's the you see, you look at Brady wanted, 2 year, $50 million, 25 a year deal. He wouldn't give it to him because Bill was making roughly a little over $20 million, and he didn't want Tom making more money than he made.
Oh, that's that. Wow. Well, obviously, that's only sort of came back around to bite him in the ass.
A little bit. Bill Belichick. Things are falling apart in North Carolina faster than they fell apart in New England. We can hold out hope that Hulu footage will sometime reach the airwaves, reach some TV screen that we can watch.
Come on, Pablo Torre. Absolutely. You can do this.
Pablo,
this
I
is
have
your
my
masterpiece.
Faith in you.
This is your Mona Lisa.
You're a great journalist. Give up on Kawhi and all the money out in L.A. Go back to Bill Belichick. That's where you made your bones as a podcaster. But in case you missed it, we'll revisit it. Bill Belichick, they are having exit strategy meetings today at UNC, according to a report from 24/7 Sports and CBS Sports. Will Bill Belichick be around in 2 weeks when his team returns to the field against Cal? Has he damaged his legacy? Right now, if you're a Belichick supporter, tell me why we shouldn't be talking about the negativity, why we shouldn't be questioning his ability. Tell me why we shouldn't be saying he's damaging his legacy. Stiz might try that, but you should too.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.